In congressional races like that one, the challengers are understandably very focused on their goal of beating out the incumbent, so much so that they may not stop to think about how winning might change their lives. Minnesota Congressman Jim Oberstar knows it does.
I'm grocery shopping at home in Chisholm. People look up from their shopping cart at the Jubilee Market and say, "Oh, you're here? Oh, you do shopping?" Well, of course. Yeah. And or when I'm bicycling, that really startles people. They, "Well, you wear those clothes? You wear those spandex and helmet and glasses and ride a bike?" Well, yes, members of Congress are real people.
And one of the first decisions they have to make is whether to move life and family to Washington. Oberstar is a Democrat, first elected in 1974. 30 years in Congress means he's got lots of stories to tell as he leans back in the leather chair of his congressional office. He recalls his early decision to move his wife and children to a house on Capitol Hill and how that allowed him to mix private life with official duties.
1978, I think, or 79, I got a call from the White House. President Carter asked me to lead the U.S. delegation to the funeral of Edvard Kardel, who was the second-ranking person in the then Yugoslav government after President Tito. So I got everything prepared, packed, ready to go the next day. It started snowing in Washington. And the State Department had sent a car to pick me up, take me to Andrews Air Force Base. I knew things were in trouble when the driver arrived on foot. And it took 4 hours to drive about 3 miles. 6:30 or so that evening, I called Andrews Air Force Base, take off. Leave for you go. I'll never make it. It's just hopeless. I'll never get there. I need a snowmobile to make it out. Next morning, I went out. It was a clear day. Built a huge snowslide out front, cutting the chunks of snow, building it up as my father had done for me in our backyard in Chisholm. And then I showed the children how you ice it down and you make this wonderful curve. And they had a glorious day sliding on that wonderful slope. And they brought their friends over, and they cut steps into it. And for a whole week, that slide enthralled our children and their friends. Years later, they still remember the slide. They would never remember that their dad went to Yugoslavia to celebrate the memory of a fallen communist leader, but they will never forget the snow slide that I built for them. And that is, you know, I think that kind of sums up the issue of family togetherness and keeping your family in one place rather than trying to split between Washington and a congressional district.
You're never very far, are you, from being reminded of votes on the floor, huh?
Well, that was adjournment signal, but you're right. The bells are ever present.
The decision to bring his family to Washington worked out, but in some ways, and Oberstar admits this, the choice is harder for new congressmen these days. There's a lot of pressure to maintain a constant presence in the home district, in essence, not become Washington, or at least open up the field for a challenger to claim that in the next election. Oberstar manages that by spending Congress's off weeks in Minnesota, driving the district and talking to people. He says in day-to-day life, though, family sometimes trumps Congress. He remembers learning that lesson in the early years of his career, 1975 and 76. That was an incredibly busy Congress, many bills and many votes. Lawmakers were trying to change government in the wake of Vietnam and Watergate.
So these were very intense times, yet we had a more dependable, predictable schedule, and children always remember that Dad prepared their school lunch and was there to do breakfast with them. And we had a carpool for one of, well, each of our children in time, and and I did my share in the carpool. They remember that. I also remember they didn't like some of the lunches I made for them. They liked some of the others.
You told me a story about missing votes, having to miss votes, I think, especially when your wife had cancer.
Yes. When Joe was going through chemotherapy, I arranged my schedule so that I would be there and sit with her. Occasionally, I'd have to do something, major votes, and a friend was there to take her home. But I made a point to be home in the evening, and there was a particular day when we had been told the session would end at 6:30, and it was now 7 o'clock, and the chair announced there'd be more votes. And I got up and said, I'm leaving. And my colleague, who was then a 32-year member of the House, said, well, we have more votes. You're not going to leave, are you? I said, well, my wife had chemotherapy today. I said I'd be home by 7. I'm already going to be a half hour late, and the votes will just have to, I'll miss. And he pulled my hand down. He said, please sit for just a moment. I wish that just once in my career I had done that, to let my wife and daughter know that I cared for them that much. My daughter might not have committed suicide. My wife might not have had the problems she's encountered. And then he melted into tears. Well, that was a pretty heavy moment, and powerful and compelling. I hugged him and said prayers for him, and then I went home.
Congressman Oberstar believes his constituents forgave him for missing those votes, and he hopes new members of Congress get the same leeway. We'd love to hear from you, our listeners. Whether it's comments on something you've heard or suggestions for what you'd like to hear, let us know. Our email address is watc@npr.org. That's watc@npr.org. Give us a daytime and evening phone number, and this is radio. Tell us how to pronounce your name.